This episode of the AnaQuest podcast was originally recorded in October 2015. It was originally intended to be our Halloween episode, which would explain quite a few things. However, with technology being technology, we were forced to delay it a little bit. And with technology striking yet once again with the latest episode, we have been forced to drag this one out of our vault just a little bit earlier than we had originally intended. As always, we apologize for any inconsistency in connection to later episodes, and we absolutely promise that our upload schedule will return to normal next week. In the meantime, please enjoy this very spooky episode of the AnaQuest podcast.
Good evening, and welcome to a very scary episode of the AnaQuest podcast. Tonight, we will be discussing the genre of horror in anime, and more specifically, what anime we suggest that you all watch on Halloween. I am your ghoulish host, Nate Melbank, and with me are my scary co-hosts.
Man, this is Frankenman, man.
Ooh, this is Spooky Bones Andrew.
Chris from the Black Lagoon.
And we'll get to all that in a moment, but first, this week's bit of news that I have to bring up is kind of special, because it really just shows how ignorant some people are. A UN rapporteur from the Netherlands by the name I'm going to botch this name, Maud de Boer Bucicino, who serves on the UN as child prostitution, suggests that Japan ban manga with extreme child pornographic content. She noted that it is important to find, quote, the right balance between artistic freedom and the protection of children. Quote, I accept that the freedom of expression argument should prevail when it comes to adult pornography, she said. Debor Bucicino recently completed an 8-day study of sexual abuse situation in Japan. For her investigation, she interviewed government and law enforcement representatives in non-governmental organizations and victims. Quote, Japan passed a bill last summer outlawing the possession of child pornography, though the bill does not criminalize depictions in manga and anime. It is also still legal to offer photos depicting half-naked children or children in skimpy outfits, and DVDs and photos with child erotica are available online and in some stores. Quote, all of these are obviously lucrative business, Debor Bucicino said. What is worrying is that there is a trend which seems to be socially accepted and tolerated. She found the hesitation to take action in Japanese law enforcement officers to be, quote, exceptional, and noted that sex offenders in Japan enjoy a, quote, relatively high impunity compared with other developed nations. These factors, she asserts, contribute to Japan's, quote, social and institutional tolerance for offenses related to exploitation of children. Debor Bucicino suggested that the ban on manga with extreme content as a step to combat the problem. She also proposed instituting penalties for viewing child pornography. What do you guys make of this?
I don't know what to say. This is kind of a touchy subject. It's crazy. And it's not really surprising because it's Japan, and, you know, Japan has that kind of strange, you know, idol stuff, or like the younger kids with magazines. Those are really popular, and just all that statements about it. It's not surprising, but it's also kind of disturbing that, you know, it's like the pushing the limits of what, you know, is considered acceptable and unacceptable. And, you know, people out there are just insane. It's just, they need to do something about it.
All right, Chris, what are your thoughts on the matter?
Yeah, I gotta say I agree with Daniel. Like, it's definitely something that I feel needs to be addressed, especially with how it's, like, perceived in Japan, like, with the, like, the idol craze and all that sort of thing. But, I mean, I appreciate them trying to take some kind of effort into the whole matter, but I don't, and I think it's definitely an issue that needs to be addressed, because, I mean, it's not something I'm comfortable with, but, yeah, I think it's just really a touchy subject all across the board.
Andrew, your thoughts on the matter.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously this is, like, probably one of the worst subjects to have a different opinion on, because it's super touchy and people will be very upset, understandably, and which is a huge problem everywhere. But the thing is, a lot of these people, when they go in and criticize it, they don't understand the culture because it's different from their own. I'm not standing up for Japan's issues. I mean, the idol business, like they've both said, is pretty messed up. I mean, there's an entire dungeon around it in Persona 4, which was a literal strip club. Yeah, I'm still working my way through that one. The boss is even worse. Don't get me started on that.
Oh. You know, my dad actually came into my room while I was in the strip club dungeon. I told him, you know, I'm just playing Persona 4. I just had to explain to him what the dungeon was. He didn't get too peeved about it. I'm happy, though, that he did not come in when I fought the boss.
Yeah. I basically wrote a thing on it, to describe the boss quickly, it's a giant shadow with rainbow skin in the shape of a female's body dancing on a pole. When it casts magic spells, there are wet body noises.
Ugh, that squishing sound. That's the worst part of that boss. I mean, I can accept that I'm fighting a giant stripper on a pole, but it's the noises that really make it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And yet, I mean, at least Shadow Kanji, that boss is hysterical.
Yeah, that's another one.
He was hilarious. He's funny. Yeah. I get a good chuckle every time you play that boss level.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of off topic. Yeah. I'm glad
we did.
Yeah, still, Persona 4 is good. Yeah, but I'm glad they're doing something about it to make it short. But they should probably understand the culture at least somewhat competently before they start passing judgment on things they don't understand completely.
All right, I guess I should give my thoughts onto it. I know I'm probably going to hell for this, but I'm with Andrew on this one. I do think that Japan, as a person, I'm an anarchist. I do not believe in governance. But that being said, I do not support child pornography. I think it is a horrendous thing that's going on, that people are able to get away with it. Nobody should rob a child of their innocence.
And a lot of times it's psychological, too. Working with kids, you know, sexual, you know, abuse and all that, you know, it's a major damage to them, especially later on in life. It's a lot of confusion. A lot of times it's very, you know, manipulative. It's a lot of times it's a control thing, you know, for the kids are getting controlled by adults and they think this is acceptable.
And, you know,
and that's kind of disturbing.
And, you know, you look at how many anime and manga there are today that feature high school students being put in adult or erotic situations. And remember, these kids, you know, they may look like they're older, but remember, these girls are well below consent, at least here in the West. I mean, what's the age of consent here in America? 18 to 21?
Varies by state, usually around 18, 19,
usually
I think.
18.
Yeah, in Japan, it's 16.
Depending on the prefecture, it's different in those two, I believe.
Yeah. Exactly, that's what I mean. But yeah, I mean, if you are somebody who is not familiar with the world of manga, because this isn't a new phenomenon, there's things that go all the way back to Osamu Tezuka, this sort of trope of the sexualization of high school students goes all the way back to things like Osamu Tezuka's Magical Melmo, which was a magical girl who is able to change ages. It was actually written to teach young girls about puberty. I am not making that up.
I think you brought this up before.
Yeah, I brought up Magical Melmo. Yeah. And then you have Cutie Honey, who has several scantily clad outfits in her arsenal, and whenever she transforms, her clothes explode off of her body. This goes for a lot of Magical Girl shows, too. How many Magical Girl shows do you know where, when they transform, you see them completely naked, or you see the outlines of their mm-hmm. private parts on their body?
Very true.
So, I understand why one would be concerned, but as Andrew mentioned, it's a cultural thing.
And that's always been, you know, the debate, especially with just in general with, you know, anime too. It's like, people get kind of weirded out by Japanese animation and they see like younger girls almost naked and all that. And it's always been kind of like, why is that, you know, what is the deal with that? Or just in culture in general, just learning about that. It's like, you know, you try to explain it. It's just in society, you know,
Can I give you one example that makes most people feel uncomfortable?
Go ahead.
The bath scene in My Neighbor Totoro.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I forgot about that.
That's a great example right there.
Where you see the father bathing with his two daughters.
Yeah.
Whenever, you know, you watch that with your parents, you always have to say, well, in Japan, it's common for a family to bathe together. Whereas yes. in the United States, we all take turns using the bathroom.
Unless you're a super young baby and you're, you know, I mean, again, a lot of people will defend that. Again, I was telling you that example before. We watched My Neighbor Totoro in school
and we
got in big trouble because people thought we were child pornography because that bath scene with the dad and their two kids. And it's like, no, it's not, it wasn't intended that way. It's like, it's hard to explain that to people because they get these weird looks.
And going back to the 80s, one of my all-time favorite movies, Macross: Do You Remember Love, that briefly features a scene where the idol character Lin-Min-May takes a shower in zero gravity naked. And it's only on screen for a few seconds, but keep in mind, she's only 16. So, you know, if you're a 20-year-old man watching that and you think, man, that's sexy, you could be perceived as a pedophile in some cases. But I guess, as we say, it's just a part of the culture. And, you know, you can complain about it all you want, but that's Japan for you. I don't support child pornography. I don't condone pedophilia. But that's sort of how it is in Japan. And unless this material is actually hurting somebody, like doing physical harm to them, then I say that's when they draw the line. But if these works that feature young children show no cases of abuse or whatnot, then I say let them go. But I'm a believer in the non-aggression principle. I would never buy this sort of work. But if the people involved in the making of it are not being harmed physically, then I guess it's okay. But, you know, when you go into child pornography and children are actually being hurt in the process of making these pictures and videos and what have you, that's when I draw the line. And with that, let's awkwardly transition into our subject for tonight. So, tonight's subject, we are dealing with horror anime.
Ooh.
Stuff, whether it's ghouls and goblins, blood and gore, or other supernatural phenomena, there's several good horror anime out there that we enjoy. But that being said, for a while, and I would say as far as the late 2000s, horror anime was rather scarce and hard to come by. I mean, there were some works that could genuinely be classified as horror, but not really that many. And I think before we get into what we recommend, we should talk about what makes a good horror anime. So, Andrew, What do you think makes a good horror anime series?
One of the biggest things that bugs me about horror, especially in the U.S. industry, is, like, we've gotta have, like, a literal gallon of blood if they get scratched on the leg. That's one of the biggest things that's turned me off about American horror, is that there's just blood everywhere. It's like, I only, like, pulled off my fingernail, man. It's not like that. Honestly, I really haven't watched any modern horror stuff. I've watched old stuff, nothing new. But the thing is, for something I would think to make a good horror would be maybe for it to be legitimately scary without having to do everything shocky or jump scares. Those are, like, the two things I hate the most in almost any medium is just jump scares and shock value is generally just cheap. The two things is for a show to be good, I think it has to have a good atmosphere, especially if you're going for something spooky. Characters that you actually care about, too, if so you actually feel the horror if one of them dies. And a good setting, too, I guess. I think that's about it. Like, atmosphere is the biggest one, character, and then a setting, I would say, will be my top three things that makes a good horror.
Chris, what would you say makes a good horror series?
Yeah, picking back off of what Andrew said, I have to agree that first and foremost, I need to care about the characters and what's going on with them. I'm not all about the, like, in-your-face, like, blood splattery type horror. I'm more into, like, the psychologically type stuff. I mean, I don't mind, like, a good, you know, slasher or whatever flick like that, but I would much rather prefer something a little bit more subtle in execution as opposed to, like, in-your-face shock value. And, I definitely agree atmosphere is another key component. Just the general feel of everything, like, if they have a particular mood going with the music and the scenery and just, yeah, the setting itself, too, is another big thing. Where the story takes place and, like I said, nothing blood splattery in your face, but just something quiet, low-key. I mean, if there is blood, let's, like, make it a little bit more realistic. I mean, it's kind of hard to do in anime sometimes. But for me, definitely a psychologically driven horror series of character development takes the front seat as far as in-your-face shock value goes. And like I said, setting too.
Daniel, what would you say makes a good horror anime?
Like any genre, everyone said, it's the characters. I have to care about these characters. If I don't like the characters, I don't like the anime. And a good horror anime is something that makes me think. It makes me kind of, you know, get weirded out. It doesn't have to jump scare. It doesn't have to be, grotesque. It just has to, you know, kind of get me to think and get me to, you know, get moved by the characters and their actions and really want to know, get into their worlds and understand who they are. You know, if you show me the goriest anime ever, it's supposed to scare you. It's not really scary to me. Like, it's just shock value. And sometimes shock value, it gets too childish at times. And I'll give you some examples. I mean, Elf and Lied is a good example of a show that, to me, a lot of people consider it a horror anime. And to me, it's an angsty, teen-written, edgy anime that tries to something that's like, looks like some like fan fiction from LiveJournal. And that's not scary to me. Like, I don't really care about these characters. I really was disappointed with that, like that. But a show I might recommend, I like a lot is, I liked Vampire Princess Miyu as an example of the characters that I really liked. I liked, you know, the stories were very compelling. They were creepy at times. They were kind of, like, not shocking. It was just very atmospheric, and I liked it. You know, there's a difference between that. And you kind of, like, that's what qualifies to me as a good horror anime, if it's to balance all those to combine without being overly grotesque. It doesn't have, I mean, it can be gory, but it doesn't have, but it has to be something I care about these characters. I don't need to be showing these imagery. It's just imagery, and that's not what, to me, that's what it's all about. Maybe I'm just so desensitized to the whole thing where that doesn't get me. Some people might get offended of that and get grossed out or scared by it, but for me, I need more than that. I need more substance in my anime, especially with horror anime. I need to be scared and creeped out and make me think.
I guess I'll go with what I think is a good horror anime. This is all valid points. I think the most important one to me, what makes a good horror series, is first and foremost the atmosphere. I love a series that at any moment you feel that something bad will happen. One of my favorite YouTubers out there, who admits that he's not a big horror fan, Razorfist, he said that the truly scary parts of a horror movie aren't the actual scares, it's the build-up to them. The sense of dread. You feel that at any given moment, all hell is going to break loose. And what makes the tense moments all the more intense isn't when the action happens, but when it doesn't happen. Like, for example, if you play a game in Silent Hill, you go into a room and you hear this ominous music. You feel, oh my god, something's gonna jump out at me. Something's gonna jump out at me, but it never happens. It's there to just enhance the moment and nothing more. And I feel that sometimes with horror anime, less is more in terms of the scare values. The surreal imagery can also make a horror series all the more memorable. A good example of this is Mononoke with its ancient Japanese influenced art. But I also think that in order for a horror series to be good, it must be all about the horror. I mean, as much as I like reading Hellsing, I will freely admit it's not really a horror series. Even though Hellsing has plenty of scary moments in it, it's more about the action and the gore than it is the actual body horror in it. Same thing goes with Parasite, though that's more akin to a classical 50s B-movie like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or John Carpenter's The Thing. I will also agree that the characters are important, but I would also say that even the ones that are killed off in a horror anime, they must be memorable. Even if they're only in the series for an episode or two, they must have some sort of story or some sort of quality that makes them an actual character. They shouldn't just be fodder for the show to kill off in gratuitous fashion. They have to be human in order to be a true victim of a horror story. But that's what I feel makes a great horror anime. Atmosphere, surrealism, focus on the horror itself, and making its characters human. So, with that, what are some good horror anime that we recommend? Chris, you go first.
One series that I really enjoy, it definitely has a focus on the characters. It's more of a drama with horror elements to it. I particularly like the atmosphere and the setting in this show. It's a series called Red Garden.
Oh.
Mm. Yes, that's a good show. It's a really underappreciated anime. From Gonzo, particularly, too.
One of Gonzo's better titles.
I think it was originally released by ADV Films. And
it
then
was.
Funimation. Yeah, they re-released it. That's the edition that I have. And I watched it. I kind of had a nod that it was a horror anime. And I watched it late at night just for that specific purpose. And, like, the first episode isn't any, like, doesn't have too much horror elements to it, but by the time you get to the second episode, followed by the third, it really builds upon itself really well. And it's, like I said, it's not too in your face with the horror or the blood or the gore, and it actually takes time to focus on, like, the character development between the four female leads. And I thought that's one of my favorite horror anime.
What's cool about that show, I really like I said, I like the characters, their interactions to get along, but you missed one of the most horrific things of that show. The first few episodes had singing moments.
Oh my god, that's one of the elements I absolutely hated about the series was just like that poor, like, just, they weren't even like trying. It was like really bad, the singing aspect.
Was the singing in the English dub as bad as some of the singing in ADV's other dubs?
Just as bad, I thought.
Oh yeah, I watched it in Japanese and it was still bad in Japanese.
Well, I think the production's like, it's like, I'm glad they only did the first few episodes. I think when I read that the production said they cut that out after a few episodes because it just wasn't working.
Oh, yeah, they did. It's like prevalent in like two or three episodes in the beginning, and then they sprinkle it in a few episodes later on, but it only lasts for like a minute or two, and then after that, it's completely gone. I feel like that could have like been like interesting and different, but they just kind of like blew it with that.
But the best is the ending theme song to Red Garden.
The rock,
rock
show.
Rock, rock, rock an MC. One, two, everybody go.
Pull out of the mood.
Another series that I absolutely love, it was originally in print by ADV Films, and I wish that Discotech would pick it up. If you want an over-the-top, like, big monsters, monster movie-type deal, but there is a ton of psychological horror and character development in this series, and that is the Devil Lady.
Gonagai!
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Gonagai originally did the manga. When they adapted the anime, they kind of did their own thing with it, which I'm kind of glad that they did, because I'm not really a big fan of the manga itself.
I thought you were going to say Ghost Stories for a second.
That would have been fun.
When you brought up ADV and Discotech in the same sentence.
But yeah, if, like, there's a lot of action prevalent throughout the series, but there is definitely a really strong psychological element to it. With the character, the lead character, she's very sympathetic. You kind of feel for what's going on, like, in her current situation and everything. There are some cheesy elements to it. Like, there are giant Godzilla-type battles in some episodes. And some of the character design for some of the monsters is really just cheesy and over-the-top and corny. But other than that, it's, like, one of my all-time favorite shows. I watched it when I was, like, 16. And I still recommend that if you're looking for something scary, kind of over-the-top, but with a really good psychological element to it. And then another title that Daniel kind of semi-already mentioned is The Vampire Princess Miu. I've never seen the OVA series, which is what everyone knows, but I like the television series a lot, too. It actually has the same director as The Devil Lady. One thing that I like about this show is the atmosphere. the atmosphere in this one's really good. A lot of time in horror movies, there's, like, a big happy ending at the end with, like, the characters and whatnot. Well, a lot of the time in this series, the episodic characters, they don't always have a happy ending, and that's one thing I really liked about it. It was kind of true to life. Like, you get what you paid for. They're kind of, like, indulging in all these different activities that kind of get them into sticky situations, and they pay the price for it later on. There are a few instances in the show where, you know, people do end up, you know, getting off scot-free and they have a happy ending and everything, but it was really far and few in between in this show, and I actually like that aspect behind it. So it's definitely atmospheric and, like, different as far as the endings for certain storylines go. And those are my recommendations, Red Garden, The Devil Lady, and the Vampire Princess Miu television series.
Andrew, what are some horror anime that you enjoy watching?
I haven't come across anything yet that I would consider a, quote, real horror, because nothing's scared me that's supposed to scare you. I'm looking at you, High School of the Dead, you're not scaring me in the right way.
You mean Harem of the Dead?
Basically, I think that was the OVA's title.
I thought it was Boobies of the Dead.
I like Harem of the Dead, thanks to Team 4-Star.
Don't get me started on the boob physics. Someone wrote, like, a 700-word paragraph on the how the bullet going in between her boobs is impossible.
Oh, God, I knew you were going to bring that up.
I have it saved on my computer. But I won't read it all.
Read it.
You want me to?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let me open up jigglephysics.txt. That's its actual name on my computer. Okay. The average muzzle velocity of an M1A rifle is 2,800 feet per second, or 1909.1 miles per hour. This is, in fact, faster than Mach 2.5. At the distance he is firing from, the bullet wouldn't have much time to slow, so it it is still traveling at approximately Mach 2.5. Her boobs are potentially going double the top speed of the F-35 fighter jet. And somebody adds later, assuming she's average height, her boobs appeared about to be one-third of her torso, an average torso of a female being 22.6 inches. Her boobs are about 7.5 inches long, a foot is 12 inches, they're moving at 5,600 feet, aka 72,200 inches a second. Her boobs are flopping 8,960 times a second. 8,960 flops per second would result in the shockwaves from her breasts emanating at 8,960 hertz tone, which is actually a very shrill noise within the range of human hearing. You can enter into a website to hear an audio of what it would sound like, and it's just like a huge, really loud ringing noise in your ears. Don't get me started on High School of the Dead, basically. I've only seen three quote horror anime to completion, another original Helsing and Helsing Ultimate. None of them I consider to be true horror. I've seen bits and pieces of Koabon, which is airing this season, which is closer to a real horror, but I haven't been able to watch very much because, one, unlicensed, and two, 4 minutes an episode. But
watch Poopa?
No, I heard it was trash even before it aired.
But I just heard like the 4 minutes per episode. I thought you were describing Poopa.
No, I was describing Koabon. It's supposed to be airing this season. Crunchyroll probably has it, and they refused to announce it for reasons. But out of the three things that I have seen completely, I would say actually the OVA for Another, which is the prequel to it, has probably the best atmosphere out of all of them. I do really like Another and Helsing Ultimate. They're both really enjoyable shows, but I don't think any of them are, quote, horror at all. So I haven't really seen anything that I would consider to be horror. I actively went out and looked for a show to watch this week that would be horror. So I went to the horror section of my anime list. All I found was hentai. It's like,
oh man. Well, it is horror anime.
That's
it's
Dan's line.
That's horrific.
Yeah.
Thank you, we'll be here all week.
Yeah, but if you want something scary, don't come to me. If you want something kind of suspenseful and supernatural, I'd say probably watch Another. Yeah, the only thing scary about any of the shows I've seen is the amount of blood in Helsing. You could drown the entire continent in that.
Daniel, what are some anime that you would recommend people watch on Halloween, or some of your favorite horror series?
Mao Chan, scariest shit in the world.
Oh, seriously, what are some of your favorite horror anime?
Okay. Be serious. You know, I mean, some of my favorites are like, I like Vampire Princess Mia, that's a classic. You know, I do love, my personal favorite I watch every year is Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust. Ooh. And I love Bloodlust. Now, the original Vampire Hunter D, a lot of people will say, well, I like the original Vampire Hunter D. And I did too, when I was 12. And the problem is, I watched it again recently, it has not aged very well. It's kind of really corny, and I really liked it, it's just, I appreciated it. But it hasn't aged well to me as it should, and I was really disappointed. But for some reason, Bloodlust always, I go back to that every year, and it makes me really happy. And it's just a good horror film, a horror action film. It's gothic atmosphere, the characters are creative, Kawajiri behind it, it just makes it a phenomenal anime.
It was directed by Yoshiaki Kawajiri.
Yes, it's amazing. You know, the guy who made behind Ninja Scroll, Wicked City, Cyber City OAD, just you name it. He's done a lot. He's one of the best in the action genre, but this is a really good horror action adventure show that movie he did, and it shows. And definitely, if you have a chance, pick up the Blu-ray. It's a really good transfer. I really liked it.
The Blu-ray just came out, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And Discotech released it, and it's...
Yeah, it was on the cover of the last
really
it was on the cover of the last catalog I got from Right Stuff. They're pushing it pretty hard.
They also like I said, definitely pick it up if you can from Discotech. I also recommend another little short show. It's not a short show, it's an older anime that I actually love. It's more of a horror comedy. It's a little show by the name of Hell Teacher Nube. Yes.
I've not seen it, but I love that opening.
Oh, that opening. That opening is one of my favorite openings of all time. It's just epic. Like, it's horror, supernatural, it's an action, comedy show from the 90s. It's a shonen show about a teacher who has a demon claw hand for, you know, he's a teacher at the school where the school's, like, possessed by all these demons and, like, all these spirits, and he has to go and pretty much control them and he has a thing called his hand, like a demon hand, that helps control, you know, fights the demons, and he pretty much tries at the same time still teaching his class. It's both hilarious, and it's fun. It's action, old school anime, old school 90s anime. I have the series. I mean, the only way you're gonna watch it is pretty much either watch it online or find other ways to get it, you know, because it's not licensed in America. And if it did, I'm looking at you, Discotheque, I would pick it up in a heartbeat because I can listen to that opening nonstop. I always skip openings, but I watch that every time I watch the opening. It is such a great show. The characters are fun. Nube is a great, he's kind of like goofy, but he's also a real badass. And he's just, he's insane when he gets like possessed. It's just a really fun show. And if you like the nostalgia feel of the 90s, you'll like it. And it's about 48 episodes plus a couple OVAs, but you know, it's a pretty easy show to get into. I mean, it's fun. It has a good atmosphere. The characters are fun. They're silly, but they're, you know, it has a good element of everything. And that's what I like about it. And it's a horror anime. I like when it mixes all these other genres together. So it doesn't have to be just one, it has to be a horror anime. It could be an action show or a shonen, or it could be comedy. It can add stuff to it, which I think is great. It has more elements to it. I like that. And that's why I like Hello Teacher Nube. It's a highly recommended, one of my favorite of the horror genre, along with Vampire D Bloodlust and Vampire Princess Mew, the OVA. I never really seen the TV show from Mio, but I mean, the OVA is a classic. And it's still a good show after all these years.
I guess that leaves me for some horror anime. Me personally, I've got several recommendations, so I'm gonna run these down quick. First up, for those who want psychological horror that's not so much about the gore or ghouls and goblins, I strongly recommend Satoshi Kon's Perfect Blue. Excellent debut movie for him. Easily his darkest work. Because normally when a director debuts, it's normally not with their darkest stuff, but Kon went all out, to put it lightly, shall we say.
Excellent movie. That's a great debut, and I agree. It's a great psychological, very creepy film to watch even to this day.
It's the story of a girl named Nima who leaves her idol group, Cham, to pursue a career in acting. However, the roles she takes soon take a toll on her, and all the while, she feels that she's being stalked by a creepy fan. Who's stalking her and why? Well, I don't want to give away the twist. Just check it out for yourself. Let's see, I also recommend, in the same vein as Perfect Blue, Monster.
Oh, yes.
Monster is more of a murder mystery than a straight-up horror, but the tense atmosphere that carries over from episode to episode surrounding the mystery of the show really makes it worthy of being a full-on horror title.
You know, and I'm sorry, but like I said, I fully agree with you, and that's like, you know, I didn't think about it that way, because it is creepy, like a show. I thought about saying that, but it is a, like I said, it is a good show. It is very creepy overall. Even if some of the episodes are not meant to be scary, it's still the experience. It's just psychological suspense. And it's just, at times, Johan's one of the best villains, in my opinion, one of the best villains in anime.
The other thing I recommend is something that I'm currently watching right now, a show called Shiki. The premise of Shiki is that a small rural town in Japan is experiencing a wave of deaths. People are dying from what seems to be anemia, but nobody can figure out what's causing these deaths. There's speculation that it may be a pandemic, but once the mystery unveils itself before the inhabitants of the town, that idea goes out the window, as there's something else causing these deaths in the small town, and the people who die aren't really dead. It's a fun, unique take on the vampire zombie side of horror anime. Excellent atmosphere, a wonderful soundtrack done by the guy who did the music for Fairy Tail and Mononoke.
Ooh.
And it's actually based on a manga by Fuyumi Ono, the same author as the excellent fantasy series The 12 Kingdoms, and another supernatural horror anime, Ghost Hunt, which I also plan to watch. But what really makes Shiki so great are the characters. The mystery isn't unraveled by just one person. It's the mystery is slowly unveiled by three separate characters. A high school student, a junior monk, and a doctor. And each one has their own unique take and perspective on the situation. But I won't really say what their role is in the story. Also, the villains in this show are great. They're complex, their motivations are excellent, and all you people who are fans of J-Rock, the main villain in this show is voiced by Gackt. No oohs or ahs there?
Ooh! Ah!
I was about to say, because, you know, it's freaking Gackt, one of Japan's top rock stars.
Was, like, this his first voice acting role or something? Or?
No, it's not. He's done voice acting roles before.
I've heard the name. I don't. What's some of his roles? I've heard that name somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not too...
Let me look it up on ANN.
Gack is something like, sounds like, you know, I know it sounds silly, but it sounds like something you get, like, as a toy. It's like, you know, like a toy. Hey, have some
Oh, God.
Gack.
Genesis in Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII. He was Rider Man in Kamen Rider Decade All Riders versus Die Shocker. Yeah, he was in several Final Fantasy games. He did the theme song performances for Sket Dance, Zeta Gundam, A New Translation, Kamen Rider Decade, and Technolize.
He did the ending.
He did the ending for that.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
I really like the ending of Technolize is really good. It's kind of a beautiful piece.
He also was in New Fist of the North Star as Seiji. He was in Dragon Age Dawn of the Seeker, Supernatural the Animated Series, and six episodes of Sket Dance.
Too bad Sarah's not here because she actually just watched that. Supernatural, that is.
Oh, yeah.
The dub is also pretty good. Jerry Jewell plays the main character. David Wald is excellent as the doctor, and you'll forgive me if I don't say their names. Todd Haberkorn plays a total dork in Shiki 2, but at least he's a dork that you can laugh at. He's not Kazuki from Dragon Aught, who acts like a dick through the whole series and never gets what he deserves. But yeah, Shiki, really good. And finally, my last recommendation for a good horror anime to watch on Halloween is an obscure one called Requiem from the Darkness, aka The Hundred Stories. It's about a traveling author by the name of Momosuke, who is assigned by his editor to write riddles for children, but wants to write a series of horror stories called The Hundred Stories. While traveling through the countryside, he comes across a mysterious trio called the Ongyo, consisting of Mataichi the Trickster, Ogin the Puppeteer, and Nagamimi, I believe it's Nagamimi the Illusionist is his title, because he's a shapeshifter. And the immediate thing that'll draw you into the show are the visuals. Think if Tim Burton did Japanese artwork.
Sounds awesome.
It looks great. There is CGI in the show for panning through the towns, but it actually works to the show's benefit as opposed to its detriment. The colors ranged from being psychedelic to washed out, and the atmosphere is fantastic. It's less of a show that shocks you with its gore, although there is plenty of blood in the series to be found. It's more akin to listening to a ghost story, like hearing horror tales from ancient Japanese folklore.
I wanted to see this show for a while, and I was kind of skeptical because I never heard, no one's ever really talked about it before. It's kind of like one of those kind of obscure shows that, you know, I think it has, I don't even know what people's reviews on it are, because it's like no one's ever mentioned it. It's kind of like forgotten by many people, especially in the old Jenny Long catalog.
Well, you can actually watch it legally.
Really?
Yeah, it's on Manga Entertainment's YouTube channel.
Of all places.
Anyway, it is an excellent series and an embodiment of everything that I want in a horror anime. Excellent atmosphere, a memorable cast of characters, beautiful gothic ancient Japanese artwork, and an excellent soundtrack. I cannot stress just how much I love the opening to the series. Because unlike a lot of horror series that open with hard rock or heavy metal, Requiem from the Darkness opens with a smooth jazz song that sets the mood perfectly.
It seems really cheap because I just looked online for it. It's really finding the series is as hard, you know, if you want to buy the show. It's still pretty cheap.
Yeah, get the single discs. You won't regret it.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, same.
Yes, I suggest streaming it first for three or so episodes to see if you like it. I doubt that you won't like it, to be perfectly honest. But that's it for us tonight. Yeah. Have a happy and very spooky Halloween, and we'll see you next time. We're signing off and saying, to the next world, we commit thee.